Hello and welcome to a new edition of RAI Argentina to the World. This is the foreign service of Argentina's public national radio. We are broadcasting from the city of Buenos Aires, the capital of the Argentine Republic. I am Fernando Farias and I'm making this show and producing this program from my home studio in the neighborhood of Montserrat in Buenos Aires, as the lockdown has entered into its third month because of coronavirus. And well, here at RAI we've been producing content, programs and everything from home. On today's program, we're gonna have two talks, one with an Argentine in Miami and another one with a British here in Argentina, but not in Buenos Aires, in an area that is not as hardly hit by coronavirus as BA, Entre Ríos. You can listen to this program on riot.com.ar on demand as a podcast, and it is also broadcast via WRMI Miami Radio International. You can find out about the timetables on riot.com.ar, and you can also find on our website the updated report of the Argentine Ministry of Health on the coronavirus situation in the country, translated into the 8 languages RAI broadcasts in every day. This information is available on riot.com.ar. Okay, let's get started with the program. Continuing with our cycle of talking to Argentines around the world, now we're going to talk to Alejandro Cacciola, a music producer who's in Miami. Hello, Alejandro. Thank you for this.
Hey, Fernando. Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. And how about you?
I'm doing well, all things considered. Not complaints.
Well, Alejandro, why don't we start by telling our listeners a little bit about yourself, how you settled there, when you arrived in the U.S.?
I was born in Argentina, in Buenos Aires. I came to the U.S. in 2002, a little bit after the 2001 crisis, economical crisis. I had an opportunity because my brother moved to the U.S. in 99, and through a friend in common, I was able to get a job here in a company. So I moved here in 2002, and I always, most of my life, I work in the music industry, and currently I have a small production company for TV content, and also I'm a DJ, and I book both live bands and DJs for hospitality locations, hotels, restaurants, and bars. So
always over there in the area of in the Florida area.
Yes. I moved to Miami and I stay here. Yeah, no plans to move somewhere else yet.
Ale, why don't you tell us about the lockdown? How you experiencing that? What's the situation like now? We are having this conversation in late May. What's been the evolution of the lockdown in your area? How you experience it?
It's kind of weird, I guess, for everybody. It doesn't matter where you are. Here in the U.S., and I cannot say that it's too different from other countries, the whole thing has politicized a lot. We have elections in November, presidential elections. So what, at least in my point of view, should be basically a health matter, and it should be, you know, the main concern would be the safety of the people, has become basically a political battle. So you have, at least what I think is, when you think of the U.S., you have to keep that in mind on one end. And the other thing is that it's a country that is very decentralized. and each state has a lot of independence related to what they can do about all these restrictions. So you have a very different approach in different states. So when you think of what's going on here, it's like you try to measure, I don't know, 50 or maybe a little less, I would say 35 different countries together. Mm. So in the case of Florida, if the governor is a Republican, same party as Trump, and he was very loose with the restrictions. Mm-hmm. He was one of the last ones in put shelter in place regulations.
Restrictions, lockdown, that kind of stuff.
Correct. And they were never kind of quarantine of lockdown. Basically was stay at home as much as possible, but you can go out, you can walk, you can go for a run, you can ride your bike. There's not a lot that you can do because all the stores were closed.
Okay,
and
well,
all the parks were closed.
But Ali, the
all the beaches were
stores, beaches, restaurants, all of that had to close down. So there was some kind of hard hand on this.
Yeah, individual. It's not that you go on the street and somebody can ask you, what are you doing? You can walk on the street and nobody you anything. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Is we don't have the restriction, you know, the proper quarantine restriction that you cannot leave your house unless you're going to the supermarket or to the pharmacy or something like that. You can stay on the street as long as you're not with more than 9 more people, say groups of 10. You can stay all day long outdoors.
It's up to the individual to exercise responsibility, but you can go out, you can see other people, you can visit a friend, things that for us in Argentina, especially Buenos Aires, which is the worst hit part of Argentina, sounds like science fiction now.
Yeah, no, it's true. But also what happened is like, there are a lot of buildings, residential buildings, that they don't let you bring people that are not actual residents. So, you know, if you say, okay, I'm gonna grab my stylist to make, I'm gonna come home to cut my hair, you cannot do it. Or you know, or I don't know, I'm gonna ask, you know, this girl that I've been seeing the last few months to come home and stay here, they cannot do it.
Okay.
Most of the the buildings that have kind of amenities and security and all that, they won't let you in.
How hard was Miami hit? And do you have a figure in your mind around how many cases, how many deaths? Miami City, the area where you are.
There's been a lot. The thing is, when you think that the U.S. has almost 1.6 million. Maybe it doesn't sound like much, but we have almost 50,000 in Florida, Miami, Florida, the state.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much half of the cases is from the three southern east counties, that is Miami-Dade, Broward, where Fort Lauderdale is, and west in Palm Beach. So those three areas that are, of course, are the most populated in the state are the hardest hit. That is pretty much 50% of the total cases. Regarding death, we have 2,000 right now. And we have usually average daily is 500 a day deaths. So the numbers are pretty high when you compare. I don't know, when I see the numbers from Argentina or other countries are high, because we're talking about basically a state. But Florida is the third most populated state.
Yeah.
So
it makes sense.
But at the same time, you know, there are when you take both cases and death per million people, it's not that bad compared with other U.S. states, you know. So but here, I guess it was 2 weeks ago, the governor started relaxing the rules for most state, with the exception of these three counties that I mentioned. Mm-hmm. On Monday, here in Miami-Dade, restaurants, hair salons, they started to open. They allowed to open. And supposedly next week, also here, not even the county can decide for the whole county, but each city can decide when they mm-hmm. open. So, for example, Miami is one city and Miami is a different one.
Okay.
So Miami started all week and Miami Beach is going to start next week, you know, with stores. And probably the first week of June, they are expecting to open hotels and bars, and you know, that is the
hotels. So is tourism yes. going to function, to resume? You're not going to get people from overseas, I suppose.
I don't think so, at least from other countries. But what I think happened is a lot of people from the north, for hard-hitted states. If you are in New York and you have money, you rather, you know, work remotely, but come here.
I know? Understand.
I guess that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But again, those decisions are still kind of tentative because they're going to start open now. But if they see a spike on cases,
we're going to backtrack. 10 days from,
yeah. So kind of week to week, but that's the plan.
And what about, I mean, you're talking about working remotely, talking specifically about your area, the music industry. Have you been able to book bands? Is there live music going on?
No. In our case, on March, I would say 13, absolutely everything stopped. You know, we had the last thing that we did was, I think it was on Monday the 16th, there was a hotel that they still had guests, so they wanted to provide them, since they couldn't not go out, they wanted to provide it, you know, with live entertainment. So we had a DJ there on Monday, and we were supposed to have every day something, and on Tuesday they called us and they said, no more live entertainment for us. I guess that it's going to be at least 3-4 months until we are kind of back to some kind of normal.
Mm-hmm. Ale, finally, staying in touch with your friends and family here in Buenos Aires, and how you communicate, how they are all okay?
Yes, thank God, everything. In my family, we don't have any cases. I know 2 or 3 people that a friend of a friend that got, but in my family everybody is fine. My son, that he's working for a consultant company. He was on a project in Peru, in Lima, and he got stuck there for 2 months. But yesterday I got the news that on Saturday he's going back to Buenos Aires.
Good.
He finally is gonna back home, so that's good. No complaints.
Good. Ale, I know that you put together these mixes of music that are available on internet. I'd like you to make a plug of that so listeners can have a listen to that, especially considering that the show goes up on Friday and people may want to listen to some music to cheer themselves up.
Sounds good. I have, most of my mixes I have on mixcloud.com. And you can find me under the name Disco Rocks.
Excellent. Well, Alejandro, that was excellent. Thank you very much for this.
Thank you, Fer. Great. Always great talking to you.
That was Alejandro Cacciola, a music producer from Buenos Aires, Argentina, who's been in Miami, Florida, the US, for 2 decades, talking to Rai Argentina to the World. Okay, for the latest shows, we've been talking to people around the world, so they tell us how they're experiencing the lockdown. But we never spoken on the English language program to people outside Buenos Aires, and now we're going to have the chance to do that. I'm talking to Daniel Tunard, a British expatriate, in the city of Well, what do I call Concepción del Uruguay, Daniel? A city, a village, a town?
I would call it a town. It's a city of that in Spanish, but it's 80,000 people, so it's more town than city.
Well, Daniel has been on the show a couple of times because he's an author, he's a stand-up comedian. He's a man of many talents. He's also a Scrabble champion, and I'd like you to tell me about that a little later. But why don't we start, Daniel, by telling our listeners a little bit about yourself, how you ended up in Argentina and where you're originally from.
Well, I'm originally from partly Sheffield and partly Manchester. I first went to Argentina in 97. I was studying Spanish at university. And I met my first wife, and so I moved over in 99. And then I got divorced, and then I met my second wife. And with her, we moved. That was all in Buenos Aires. We moved to Concepción del Uruguay in 2015, and we've been here since then. And soon we'll be moving to England. So it's all go.
Your wife is originally from Concepción.
Yeah, it's all her fault that we live here, yeah.
Okay, yeah. This is the first time you are planning to return to England? During this past two decades, you ever had the intention of returning there?
It's been a decision that I have made many times. I first made this decision in 2007. And then I came back and I met someone, and that put paid to that. And then I met my second wife as well. And then every now and again, whenever we go to England, my wife and I, we think, oh, let's move here. It's great. The debit card transactions are really quick. I love the debit card transactions in England. You just kind of show your card to the machine and you've paid. You don't have to fill out a little slip and give your signature. And various other reasons. It's not just debit cards. And so every time we go over, we're very enthusiastic about moving, and then we come back here and we look at the whole kind of everything that a big move like that involves, and it puts us off, and we think, no, let's stay here.
Yeah, but moving to the UK specifically is very hard for a foreigner because the visa requirements are among the toughest in the world for people married to a British national.
Yeah, until 2011, if you were married to a British citizen, you could just move to England and get a job and it was fine. And Theresa May, when she was Minister of the Interior, changed that so that it's very complicated now and you need either a well-paid job or a lot of savings and various other hoops to jump through to get the visa. But we're working on that, and hopefully we'll get it.
Hopefully. Well, how's life? I mean, you've been living for the past 5 years in Concepción, in Entre Ríos, which is, I suppose, a much quieter life than here in Buenos Aires, which is where you lived for most of your stay here in Argentina over the past few decades.
Yeah, it's a bit too quiet. It's very nice. I mean,
did you say boring?
Part of the reason for moving here.
Did you say boring?
I would say boring, yes. Okay. It is quite boring. But in a way, I was kind of looking for boring. You know, this is the person who spent 7 months taking the buses of Buenos Aires to write a book. So I kind of get drawn to these boring things. As a writer and a translator, I wanted to kind of have somewhere without distractions, mm-hmm. where I could have more time to write and stuff, and that worked. And then after a while, you get bored of that, and you want to go back to Buenos Aires and have fun and see your friends and things.
Yeah, of course. Well, but now being in a town in like Concepción, like being anywhere outside Buenos Aires is paying off in the context of the pandemic, because except Buenos Aires, the whole country is in phase four, which means. What exactly? How's the lockdown going in Concepción now, late May?
Yeah, it's very strange because you know, we sit here looking at the news in and all the cases there, and then all the cases in the United States and the UK, and where we are, there are no cases. There's 80,000 people here, and there have been no cases in Concepción. Not a single one. In the whole province, which is the size of the Czech Republic, I think there have been 13 cases and no deaths. It's been really quiet. So now we're not really allowed to do very much. As you know, the lockdown is quite strict in Argentina. We're allowed to walk 500 meters from our house.
Mm-hmm. Really?
And yeah, 500 meters. I walked yesterday. I walked about 8 kilometers. I don't really.
No, but
it was there was nobody there. I saw a guinea pig and a heron. It was fine.
Yeah, of course, you can walk 10 kilometers, maybe not seeing anyone. But I was under the impression that it was up to local authorities to relax lockdown measures, and with 20-30 cases in the whole province, why is the governor or the mayor not relaxing and allowing people, I don't know, to meet friends or to go to restaurants? I understand that no schools have been reopened, but at least something more flexible than we have here in Buenos Aires.
Yeah, you'd have to ask the mayor, but I think they're cautious. I think they know that if you give people an inch, they'll take a mile, and if you give them a little bit of freedom, they'll start to do a lot more. And so although there are restrictions in place, you see kind of neighbours meeting up with each other, and you see people in the square that shouldn't be there with their kids and stuff. And so there is the rule, and then there is what people actually do in reality. Yes, it's often the case in Argentina, isn't it?
So basically the same pictures that we're seeing here, people standing in line, outside supermarkets, pharmacies and shops, and no social life, no restaurants, no bars, no people gathering in parks.
Yeah, it's mostly sitting at home drinking. That's all we've been doing for the last 2 months.
And gaining weight.
No, I haven't. No. I've been very good. I walked around my garden before we were allowed out of the house. I walked around my garden for like half an hour every day, which is insane.
You've got a garden. You can't imagine how much I envy you.
I know. This is another reason for moving here. We thought, we can have a nice house with a garden. But that's about as good as it gets.
Daniel, as I mentioned before, you are also an author. He was on this show, on Rye Argentina to the World, a few years back, when it was possible to have interviews face-to-face in the studio. Sounds like science fiction. Now, he came to talk about one of his books. He wrote a book called Collectivization, a great book in which he chronicles his taking of all of the buses in Buenos Aires City, which are in total, I can't remember the figure.
140.
And then he did the same with the trains, but not of Buenos Aires, but Argentina.
Yeah.
And now you're working or finishing or finished a novel that is about Scrabble?
Yeah. Yeah, it's an imagining of the Latin American Scrabble Championships in the 1990s, when there was this great boom in Scrabble. It was televised. It had cigarette sponsorship, and it also had a mafia called the Scraffia, and there was a very corrupt game, and it all exploded. And it tells the story of this couple, one British woman and her Argentine husband, and how they come up against the Scraffia and try to make their way through these tournaments and stuff.
What does the Scraffia try to do? I mean, try to rig championships or what?
Yeah, they fix. It's basically they try to fix matches and encourage betting on the matches so that they make money out of the matches. It's all fiction, of course. It's never really happened.
Daniel, I mean, I have to ask you. You've represented, am I correct, Argentina in international Scrabble championships? You're a British. I mean, obviously English is your mother language, but you compete in Scrabble in Spanish. How did that come to be?
Yeah, I'd had this idea for a novel about Scrabble for a long time and hadn't really got around to doing it. And then I found out that my wife's aunt was friends with one of the former world champion called Claudia Amaral, who was world champion in 2004, who's from here in Concepcion. So I went to play with her 3 games in 2015 when I didn't have a clue about playing Scrabble in Spanish. And she completely thrashed me. And I said, right, that's it. I'm not playing any more Scrabble again. But I started, after a year, I started playing in local tournaments. And there's a World Cup, and you can go to the World Cup. And because I'm resident in Argentina, I represent Argentina. I'm pretty good. It's nice to find something that you're good at, you know. So the second World Cup I went to, I finished 13th. Wow. In the world, which was pretty good. And then the year after that, last year in Panama, I finished 32nd, which was a real kick in the teeth. I thought I was going to finish in the top five, but it turned out the 13th place was just a fluke. I'm not that good after all.
Daniel, I mean, did you play Scrabble before in English back home? I mean, when you were a kid or... It came to you.
I played with my mum and sisters, but I didn't really play competitively in the way that people kind of study the dictionary and play in tournaments and stuff. It was something that I've only done in Spanish. So if you play me now in English, you'll beat me. I'm really terrible playing in English, but in Spanish, I'm pretty good.
Is it harder to play Scrabble in English than it is in Spanish because there are more words?
There are more words, yeah. There are more words to learn. I think it's also easier because you can add more words onto words and there are conjugations and things like that. So it's a bit more open. English tends to be lots of short words, so it's a very kind of closed game. But I haven't really played competitively in English, so I can't really compare the two. I personally prefer playing in Spanish because that's the game that I've always played. So we'll see when I move to England if I start playing in English. I don't think my wife will let me because I'm already spending too much time playing Scrabble.
Daniel, have your books in Spanish like Collectivization and Trenes Argentinos been published in English?
No, there was some interest in books in London in the train book a couple of years ago, and they decided it was a bit too niche. It's very much about life in Argentina and you have to kind of be Argentine to get it, so I didn't quite get that there. I think that's the case, but hopefully when Escapes, the Scrabble novel, comes out in October, I'll become so famous that people will want to publish all my
That's going to be released in October via Unnamed, the publisher called Unnamed.
Unnamed Press. Yeah, Unnamed Press in Los Angeles is publishing this on the 6th of October, and the novel is called Escapes.
Good. Do you have a web page, an Instagram account where our listeners can learn more about your books, about your stuff?
Yes, on Twitter, I'm Daniel Tenard, and my webpage is danieltenard.com. I'm on Instagram as well, but there's just a picture.
Okay.
And there's not much on there.
Okay, well, Dan, I wish you luck with your return, with your moving to the UK. I hope this is over and we can have at least one final mate, sharing germs and all of the stuff that mate drinking involves.
Yeah, I look forward to sharing my germs with you again.
Thank you very much, Daniel.
Okay, thank you, Fernando.
That was Daniel Tenard, a British expatriate living in Concepción del Uruguay, the province of Entre Ríos. And with that, we come to the end of this lockdown edition of RAE Argentina to the World in English. I am Fernando Farias. Remember that you can find this and previous programs on rae.com.ar. And the show is also broadcast via WRMI in Miami. Thank you very much for listening. Hasta la próxima.